This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Leicester Fan TV Podcast on YouTube, as seen on TalkSport. Talking everything Leicester City. Run by the fans. For the fans.
So welcome to Leicester Fan TV Podcast. Today we're going to talk about the game that's just gone. We've just lost to Man City 1-0 at the weekend, and we've got two fixtures coming up really against West Ham and Everton. Two very important games to come up. How many points do you see us getting out of these last two games before the World Cup starts?
I said that we're going to win. Well, I said we'll get 4 points, a draw and a win. I'll take that. And you've got to look at it. Is that good enough? I think it's good enough for the World Cup. I'll probably get us top 10 now if we do get 4 points coming from the next two games. But the way I see it is Man City just gone. For me, that was a brilliant performance. Yes, we lost, but you've got to take the momentum and the performance from that game into the next two games, and you see that we are hopefully moving in direction and hopefully going forward with the team now. And I think maybe the players want to perform a bit better in the next two games as well, just get into that World Cup squad, like Madison, Tillemans, maybe even Pratt, and players like that, even Faze. A lot of these players want to get in that World Cup squad, so they've got to perform to get into the next few games for the World Cup. So they've got to perform now.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, that players might perform a little bit better. I mean, I think Maddison is a bit of a whitewash anyway. I think he should be in that team regardless. He's played really well. I don't think he will be. I think Southgate refuses to pick him. I don't think it's anything to do with his quality, because he is, and stats don't lie, he was the best Premier League midfielder. I don't even think he was just, you know, the best English one. I think he was the best midfielder of last season. I think he's going very under the radar at the moment, which is something that he probably isn't enjoying. He probably would enjoy to be in the England squad. And yeah, you've got to look at the bigger picture, man. So yeah, I wanted to go as far as say it was brilliant. I think we did well. I think there was a few liabilities in the team, you know, Barnes and Justin, no offence to them, I thought they were a bit slow. Whether that was down to tactics or not, but we saw Barnes in the final third, and every time he made the wrong decision, really, he was, you know, he should have been passing it. He didn't. He took him on when he should be taking him on. He was passing it. You know, I think he just needs a bit of more of a football brain in the sense in the final third. So these next two games, like I said before, Man City was a bit of a, you know, anything could happen and it doesn't really matter. So the fact that we only lost 1-0, I said 3-0 loss, or 3-1, sorry. So I think 1-0 is actually all right for us. So I think in the end, you know, we've got to move on to Everton and West Ham now. Like you said, 4 points, I don't think it will creep us into the top 10, because, you know, we've got to play the other teams around us. Top 10 is if the other teams don't win, and obviously those two teams are just ahead of us. So, again, these two are six-pointers, really, because we could go ahead or behind them by different margins. It didn't help that the weekend just gone, we saw Leeds win. You know, other teams put up quite a good fight against, you know, Spurs just won 3-2 in the end, I believe. I can't remember who they played. I think Bournemouth team did down the bottom, you know. So, yeah, I think Everton's our next game, our away game, coming up this weekend. And it's going to be a tough one, because they're doing pretty decent. They've got a good attacking team and a good defensive team, so we realistically need to get, like you say, we need to come out away with this with 4 points.
This is the biggest test now, isn't it? Obviously, Man City was a kind of a chance to show what we can do against the bigger teams. Obviously, the first few games we played against the Arsenal, Chelsea and whatnot, we lost, and we looked woeful at best. And now we've kind of have we proven ourselves into the Man City game, showing that yes, there was no Haaland, but we still only got Man City to 1-0. They could have scored loads more against other teams, but we only kept them to 1-0. And I think now we're going to the Everton game, as much as it is probably a harder game because I think they're going to be fighting for points, I think we can still go there and get a win. And we've done it before, we can do it again. But for me, they are probably a tougher test than what we've already faced this season.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying with all that. To come back to Man City a little bit, I think Rodgers was about, I'd probably say about 90% right with his decisions. And that's quite a lot for a manager who's struggled in the past. I think the only part that let me down for him was when he changed around Iheanacho and Dakar. I think they came on 15 minutes too late, because the way we were set up to play was definitely to play to counter-attack and to let them attack us and get the ball off them. But as soon as they scored that first goal, you have to change how you play. And comebacks is, it's all well and good holding the 1-0 loss like we did, but we kind of have to change that around, because 1-0 loss, 2-0 loss, 2-0 loss, it's still a loss at the end of the day. I'd rather lose 3-0 and try a bit more like we did at the end. I would have rather preferred to that an extra 20 minutes and they concede two more goals, because there's no difference really. It was better to try and get something out of it than lose 1-0. So I think it was okay. I'm not here going to say it was a bad game, because I thought we did play pretty decent. And all the fans were cheering at the end, clapping, supporting. I think that's all well and good. And I think, they deserved it at the end. I don't think any of them played in particularly bad, apart from, the left side have held us down a little bit. Thought Ward had a decent game. The goal let in, it was probably a decision by the ref again. Top six by Grealish kind of dived. It was a bit of an easy tackle. I mean, leading up to that, Amarty should have probably just headed the ball away. So, it was all just little things. It was, just a free kick at the end. It wasn't a great play by Man City. It was just a free kick that got them the 3 points in the end. So hopefully their heads aren't held too low. Hopefully they're still held up high. And I genuinely think we can get 3 points this weekend against Everton. But, we need to see which Leicester turns up. As for me, I couldn't tell you who'd play up front, to be honest, this weekend. None of them really stood out for me. I'd probably start Dakar and Iheanacho this weekend.
Yeah, I think it's more like I can't remember who we played, but when we were away, I think it was Brighton. You said, as much as we lost 5-2, them two up top were kind of the only good part about it. And I think if we're playing against somebody like that, like a Brighton, but now it's obviously Everton, I would prefer somebody like Daka and Kolektor to start and be that force up front. We've seen what they did against Man City at the end of the game. Why did they do that for the first half and then bring someone like Vardy on to constantly do that again in the second half? And I think we can do that. We've got the ability to do it. And against someone like Everton, we're not going to get caught out if we do that like we would have went to Man City. But I would start them to up front. But the Man City, for me, the main thing was, I think, was that set-piece coach. The new coach we brought in since that Spurs game, obviously when we lost 6-2. Since then, we've been so much better on set pieces. Free kicks, other than obviously the weekend, but that was obviously a wonder strike. We've not conceded a header, I don't think. We've not conceded stupid goals from just poor defending. I think since he's been in, it's been a completely different side.
I can agree with that. I can't disagree. I think we've looked better. Obviously, it takes time to work on these things. Obviously, the World Cup coming around the corner now. We were just talking about, there's not many Leicester players going, but when you actually talk about it, there is probably quite a lot of Leicester players that will be going.
Do we want to name, kind of go through the names of it?
So we can name a handful of them. I was just more like easing into the point where players now coming up to these next two games, who's going to throw the punches in? Someone like Thiago isn't going to go for the big tackles. He's not going to get himself injured, because he's 100% going to want to be playing for Belgium. And he is a first-team player for them. He's on the name sheet. He'll probably start a lot of the games for Belgium. So he's definitely, for me, he's not obviously not going to say it, but he's probably going to be a little more cautious in these next couple of games, because he's not going to want to get injured. He's not going to throw the big tackles in. Which is fine. I think it's respectable. Obviously, every player is going to want to go to the World Cup. You never want to get injured just before a big tournament like that. So, like you said, the players coming up, obviously, you've got a lot of the Belgium, like you've got Tielemans, Castagne, who are definites from Leicester, and you've got probably Pratt and Fies. They might pull out Fies. They might work their way into the team. Obviously, there's a 55-man announcement. I don't know if that's every club doing that. But there's, like I say, a handful for Nigeria, I believe. There'd be Nacho and Ndidi going, I can't see why not. Amarty and Mendy going, as well. Mendy going for Sabanis, Marty going for, does he play there as well?
Who?
Marty, does he play?
Play for Garner.
Garner, if you are, I don't know if Garner in it.
I'm not too sure. But, did you mention Ward?
Yeah, Danny Ward.
Because for me, as much as we didn't like him at the start of the season, he is now the one that maybe will get the most confidence going into that World Cup.
I think
he's done well with the recent games. And now he goes into a constant team where he'll be playing every game most likely. But like I say, he's not going to get, surely he gets ahead of Hennessy now. After the form he's had, obviously, 4 or 5 clean sheets.
He needed some confidence at Leicester. Clearly, he had a problem with his confidence. And it is a big ask for him to come up and step into Kasper's shoes. And obviously, he struggled at the start. But for recent games, he's turned it around. I'm not, you know, against Man City, it was a bit more of a test. It's a weird one because we've gone from playing the worst of the worst of the Premier League to the best of the best of the Premier League. So it's not really a middle ground. That's why I say Everton and West Ham are the real test because they're the ones that sit just above us, but not too far. That it's one of those where you have to beat them to progress forward. So again, I wouldn't push too far ahead, you know, saying, because obviously there is still 2 big games left for us, and obviously Danny Ward would most likely start both of them, so he needs to put in a big game against them too as well. I think, like you said, he probably may walk into the Wales team again, and I think that's a good thing for him because his confidence has looked better. You can't say it's not. Whether he gets first team back at Wales, who knows. Again, their time, I'm going to guess, is probably going to be very short-lived. I can't see...
The way that I was saying was, now he's got a bit more confidence and he needs more game time. This is his chance to go into the World squad and play, 4 or 5 games maybe until they get knocked out. But again, gives him more game time, hopefully gives him more confidence coming into the next half of the season after Christmas.
Yeah, well, like... I think we've got it's a weird thing to talk about because obviously the January transfer window comes right around the corner when the Premier League starts up again after the World Cup. We only play 2 games before January, and one of them's Newcastle on Boxing Day. It's a tough one. I'm not quite sure the other one is. I think it might be Liverpool
and Forest away.
Yeah, so all tough ones. But my point is, I think we might see some players go in January. A lot of players are out of contract this year. I think the likes of Tielemans, Perez, I think we're going to sell them in January for 5-10 million rather than get nothing for them.
The way that I see it is that, like you say, that there's a lot of players that you probably will see going in the January transfer window. It's probably one of the best things for us.
I agree that.
Because we didn't have the money in the summer. Now, apparently, we are looking into people already and we're wanting people already for the January window. But where's this money coming from? And this is where, like, maybe it might be good to get rid of these, or some of these.
The players are going to be out of contract, and, you know, we probably will sell a handful of them in January because even if it's 5, 10 million, even someone like Tielemans, it doesn't seem a lot in retrospective, but it's better than zero. So I think we will see a handful of players go, but like you say, we have to bring players in. For me, Tielemans he's captain when Johnny Evans is out. So what does that say? That says he's one of our best players. It means we've got to replace him with a top-tier midfielder, and that's obvious. We shouldn't, and we probably will do the classic, you know, Leicester way of we sign someone cheap and eventually they'll go on to bigger things like Fofana did, Drinkwater. I mean, all these players, Kante, I mean, there's a handful I can keep mentioning, but, you know, just stuff like that. So if we do sell players, we do need to sign players because it is a tough January. Like you said, we just named 3 teams that aren't going to be easy teams. Forest, probably 3 points if they keep up the form they're playing. But Newcastle, we'd be lucky to come away with not a battering, let's be honest.
I'd say because it's a home game, it's probably going to be, I'd say, the tightest but easier. But away, I wouldn't go. I'll be going there knowing we'll probably be losing that because the way they are at home is just ridiculous. But I know what you mean. Newcastle is a very tough one to play. Then you go into Liverpool away, which as much as Liverpool are in a bad form at the moment, Anfield is always going to be
It's so
game.
Far away that anything could change by then. That a lot, you know, the World Cup isn't just, we're going to see it. Like a lot of fans will say, it's just football, it's World Cup, international. The clubs are still doing stuff behind the scenes. The players that haven't gone will still be training. Liverpool might bring in a new, you know, whatever, they might bring in new tactics. So, you know, it's basically a month off for the clubs to reassess the season, which is, I think, what we need. It's to reassess what we're doing and to work on.
That's what happened in the international break, isn't it? Before Forest, we kind of was expected, like, what if we're not getting a manager in now? We're probably going to keep him. And then,
yeah, that is,
since then, obviously the Bournemouth loss, and then obviously now, obviously the Man City, which is kind of inevitable. we haven't done that bad. And yes, again, it was probably against the lower teams, but to say that we wanted them sat before Forest, for me, that's one reason why we probably should kind of back him on now, and just hopefully he can turn this around. And maybe the next two games, if we've gone from the Forest game winning 4-0 all the way to West Ham as the last game before the World Cup, and we've only lost 3, obviously we've already lost 2, if we lose 3 and we've won one of the next two games and lost 1, I'd still say that is pretty decent to say he's lost 3 in about 7
again,
games.
It's the mannerism. I think we're all kind of, after the Man City game, we weren't there saying, it's like, we got thumped by a good team. We were there saying, we held them up. And obviously they didn't have a good team, and that you could tell they missed Haaland at the weekend. So I hear what you're saying, like,
To say what we were at, 7 losses in a row.
Again, we still, for me, we're still down in the dumps. Fans need to just realise we are third bottom right now, so... You know, the managers around us have been sacked for less, a lot less. So I'm not here. I'm still Rodgers out at the moment. He's yet to convince me that he's turned it around, because we've played teams that we should be. We've played the literal bottom three, minus the fact that now we're in it again. So apart from that, the Man City game was a good game. But again, Everton and West Ham are the real tough games. I said Man City, I didn't think Man City were the best Man City side we faced. And they had not only have Haaland, they've got a bunch of players out. You know, the team they started with, even though they got £100 million Grealish up front and Bernardo Silva, wasn't, you know, their Man City's A team. So I think we held against them pretty well, and I'm not saying we did bad.
Do you think we probably should have got something out of the game? I think a lot of people that we spoke to were saying that we were kind of undeserved to not to draw at a point, because of, again, as much as we weren't the greatest, you play what's in front of you, and we defended brilliantly to keep them out.
You're saying, do I think we should have got something?
Do you think we should get at least a point out of that game?
If you want to be honest, no. Because I know we played well, but when you look at how we had the chances and we didn't put them away. Because, you know, you look at the stats at the end of the game and how we did, and it's like, should have we got a goal? Yeah, we should have got a goal, but when you look at how we shot, you know, Iheanacho had a chance where it was a very weak shot right at the keeper. You know, you got to look at how we did it. Their goal came from, the Grealish went down easy, you know, but the lead up to that, Marty should have headed it, and we wouldn't be sitting in this situation where they would have scored the free kick. I mean, obviously it was a world class free kick by De Bruyne, but I think the result was justified. It was Man City, and you know, I think we just held our own and we did well, but I don't think we deserved anything more than what we got out of it, because obviously the result was what it was. I can't remember any chances we had apart from Tielemans one, which was a good save by a top-class keeper, and that's to be expected. Most clubs go into a Man City game, you know, thinking they'll be lucky to get anything out of it. So I think a 1-0 loss, in retrospect, actually wasn't too bad for us in the end. So I can't complain, and I think it was, you know, it was the right score probably at the end of the day, and, you know, we held our own. That's all there is to say, really. We did hold our own against them.
Do you now go into the next two games now hoping for at least point in both, you say you have to go and get a win? Like,
we have to win one of these. Like Phil said, if we're in the bottom three, come World Cup, Rodgers has to go. I think that's just standard. You know, we can't. There's such a big break that it's a great time to get a new manager in. And I know he might be turning things around a little bit, but it's too soon to say. These next two games, we have to get, to me, at least 4 points. I can't see us. We have to get a win and a draw.
Well, like you say, we've got the next two games. If we can get two wins there, and then you go into the second half of the season in a positive way, I guess, in going to Newcastle and maybe getting a point, and then you go into the Liverpool game. Obviously, this is all different, but some maybes and whatnot. But it all kind of, for me, little bits to the puzzle. Hopefully, like you say, it's just, you're at the moment, it's paving over the cracks, but when does it get to the point where you're not paving over the cracks and you are improving here?
When we're consistent. At the moment, we're not consistent in the way we play. Football's weird because we only play one game a week, so it's like, you look at it and it's like, oh, we played well this month, but this month has really only been four games, and three of those four games were at the bottom three: Leeds, Wolves, Nottingham Forest, you know, Bournemouth, which we really should have got something out of. We were leading again, and we lost in the end 2-1. So it's still very like middle ground. He does bad for us, also the club, not just Rodgers, everyone at the club is doing bad for a long period of time. And when it's the breaking point, we then go and beat Forest 4-0. and then we carry on a decent run of form. So it is like paving over the cracks at the moment. It's nothing for me too special to brag about, because we are still third bottom, which is a real fall from grace from where we have been. Look at where we are the past. Even last season we were doing better than this. This is it's a bad season, boys, and it is relegation form still. So we needed to get these points. Rodgers would have been out that door 3 or 4 matches ago if we didn't beat Forest. I think he would have gone then. I think that luckily kept him in the job, and it sounds like he's going to be here till at least January. But
that's what I mean. Like, just before we end, you were saying that obviously the World Cup is coming up after 2 more games, and obviously the third one being the Carabao Cup game. But January, if he stays by then, surely he'll be allowed to buy what he wants in the transfer window instead of it being the new manager and whatnot. As much as I am Sir Rodgers out, I think the way I look at it, you've got to kind of back him. If he keeps thinking he can turn this around,
I
think.
To back him.
No, I'm not saying the fans. I'm saying that because he's not going to get sacked if he gets to January, and he says he can turn this around. He's got to prove it. He's got to bring the right players in. He's got to show that he can bring this.
I mean, like you said, the fans are very. No offense to Leicester fans, you know, they're a nice bunch of people, myself included, but they can be very yo-yo-y. Fact that if there might be a handful of people that have Rodgers in, and there might be people that have changed, which is fine. But you know, it's the other side of the coin where if I'm Rodgers out and we're doing well and we win the next 10 games in a row, then all the Rodgers in saying, "Why were you Rodgers out?" But you know, I would only say it because of
Rodgers. Well, that's what I mean. That gets the point where
if Rodgers does well, then fair play to him. For me, he's too inconsistent. If he really wants it, he wants it. He's said he didn't get the backing last window, which we know he didn't. But when you look at the signings he made the previous window, they've all been. I'm going to say they have all been poor signings. All 4 or 5 of them were poor signings. Daka, you know, 4 out of 10. Sumer, 3 out of 10. Vestergaard and Bertrand, 1 out of 10. Lookman, I'd probably say 7 out of 10, and he's the one we didn't sign. So, you know, we've got to. I still think we need to be realistic, because we are still third bottom. Just because when you look at the last 5, it's like, we've won 3, drawn 1 and lost 1 at the moment. It's like, whatever the stats are. I know we've done pretty okay in the past 5 games, but it's based on a season of 38 games. And we've had 4 or 5 decent games after 6 or 7 pretty awful games, let's be honest. So it's always good if we can turn it around. I'm not going to say I will. If Rodgers can turn it around, I'll happily back him. But right now, I am still Rodgers out, because he is turning a corner a little bit at the moment, the way he's playing. But he needs to take it into Everton and West Ham, and then he needs to take it again into the season. I kind of agree with Phil. I think even if we're in the bottom 5 by the start of the World Cup, we should get rid of him, get a new manager, a new tactics into the club, freshen it up. And like I said, other clubs are sacked managers for worse. I'm not saying he can't turn a corner, but again, it's these next 2 games, really. We need to see which Leicester turns up. It's hard to judge it right now, but after the past few games we played well, if we played like we did against Man City, the right tactics, the right players, I think, we can get points against these next couple of clubs that are coming up. But, you know, like I say, it's all if buts and maybes. You can only play what's in front of us, and if we don't win, we're going to, you know, be in the bottom 3 come the World Cup again.
Yeah, obviously make sure you get your comments in for what you think the scoreline is going to be for the next 2 games. We will be doing match previews and whatnot for them as well going forward. And then we've got a lot of World Cup content coming out for when you want to not be watching Leicester all this time. But appreciate you listening. That's been me and Sam. And we'll catch you all on the next Leicester Fan TV podcast. See you in a bit.
Leicester Fan TV is seen on Talk Sport, Sky Sports, BT Sports, BBC Sport, BBC Radio Leicester, ITV Central, BBC East Midlands.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Welcome to Sincerely Sloan, presented by Uninterrupted. I'm your host, professional tennis player, wife, parent, and entrepreneur, Sloan Stephens. As an athlete and as a person, my journey has had a lot of twists and turns, from moments of adversity and doubt to unimaginable triumph and satisfaction. Throughout the season, I'm joined by some of the biggest names in sports, entertainment, culture, and a few members of my tribe. Our conversations keep it real and push it past skin deep. We reveal the perspectives, routines, and products that allow each of us to show up at our best. Join me on my journey of self-discovery and many, many laughs along the way. Sincerely, Sloan.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.